I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to give you a welcome to just tell you how happy we are to be back again following this week. And we just thank you for opening your door and letting us come in. It's just wonderful to be with you and worship with you. And someday, you know, we can't see any of you. You can see us here, and at least on television, on the short wave, you can't see us either. But we'll all see each other face to face someday. And won't that be a wonderful day? Well, I have a wonderful message today, and it's for people. So we're rejoicing in old age. You don't hear sermons on old age too much, but you might be surprised how much God has to say about that. So that's going to be our subject today, rejoicing in old age. But before I do that, I want to read some of the letters. We just thank you for so many nice letters, and I get people to say, oh, we like to hear from other people. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. The first one I have is from Sherwood, North Dakota. And they write and say, how I wait for you on Sunday at 10 a.m. What a blessing your service is. Since I'm over 100, they won't let me drive. What do you think of that? I'm over 100, they won't let me drive. My vision is bad. But listen to this. She's a spunky little gal. And she says, but with the TV, they can't take it away. God bless you and all your workers. Bring us the truth. We need to hear it with love. And so maybe she can't drive her car anymore, but she can get us in on television, and they can't stop her from that, and God bless her. Here is Meadow Bridge, West Virginia. I'm French, and how nice it is that you will soon be preaching La Bonne Nouvelle in Paris. It's as many other places in Europe. Sad, sad, love in Christ. And so this is a gentleman writing, and we are now, I got this letter, we are on this station. But we're on a station called Daystar, and they have just opened up a branch, a TV station, and they're reaching the city of Paris, France, 5.5 million French people. And we're so thrilled that we'll carry the gospel to them and pray that they'll come, they'll find hope and help and find a relationship with Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Here's Elmwood, Wisconsin. I go to church each Sunday with you and memories of an old-fashioned pastor. Bible preaching, that is church. My son on his deathbed opened his eyes out of the blue asked his sister, do you have the anvil? He was a great reader, and we had a hard time to figure out the question. Now we know. Again, thank you for your Sunday service, the anvil of God's Word. And at that time, that's been about a month ago, I think now, I had four sermons. We had four sermons on why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And in one of those sermons, we said the Bible is like an anvil, and there's hammers laying all over the place. And that's the skeptics, and that's those who attacked the Bible. And they're battered away and thrown away, but the Bible stands firm. And that means that this young man's trusting Jesus, loving Jesus. And if you want to get some of the CDs of our services, CDs or DVDs, we send them on a free will offering basis. And so you just write to us. I'll give the address in just a few minutes, and you can get those CDs and DVDs. One more I want to share, and that is St. Paul, Minnesota. And here is a lady, a daughter, and she wants to witness to her dad, and her dad is very, very ill, and she wants him to trust Jesus. And so she writes and asks how she should do that and what she should do. And so I send her the little booklet, Peace with God by Billy Graham. And I said, now you to wait for just when you think the Holy Spirit moves you, and then you go and read that little book to him and tell him it's from Billy Graham, because he'll respect Billy Graham. And so here we got this letter, and this is what she said. I prayed for the right time, and guess what? My dad received Jesus as his Lord and Savior on January 17, 2016. I used the Billy Graham booklet you sent me. He did tell me he heard of him and that he was good. So I think that helped, and not to mention your prayers. And so here's a little, and I'm going to tell you, I witnessed to my dad, and the hardest person in the world to witness to is your own family, your own parents. And here she did this, and now dad knows Jesus, and she's going to be with him in heaven. Oh, it is so glorious. It is so wonderful. And so if you want to help us now in the work, and if you'd like to get order some CDs or DVDs, and then we have a little booklet on how your salvation can't be lost, eternal security, once saved, always saved. It's about a 14-page booklet, and it's all Bible. It's all Scripture. And if you write to us, I'm going to give you the address right now, and you write, and we send it on a free will offering basis. And we do that because there's some people on Social Security who don't have any money. We have prisoners. We hear from people in prison all the time. And we are gladly sent them free and postpaid. So if you'd like to get this letter, or if you'd like to write to us, or you want to get this letter, or this is a booklet on salvation, just write salvation. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to, you can also get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. So we hope to hear from you, and we hope that you'll send a gift to help us in the work. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But so now then, let's take a look at this title that I have. What does God say about old age? And there are two things. First of all, we want to point out that God honors old age. The world despises old age. God honors old age. Listen, old age is a gift from God. It's not a curse. And listen to what God has to say about old age. He says in Proverbs 16, verse 31, he says, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life." And God says that gray head is beautiful. Society says, ugh. And so God looks upon it in a very special way. And if you're along in years, you're special to God in a special way. Here's in Proverbs 9, verse 11. Proverbs 9, verse 11. And Solomon says, "For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added unto you." In other words, God adds the years to our life, and every year he allows us and gives us is a gift from God. I'm 94, and if I get to June 96, I'll be 95, and that's a gift from God. Those added years are gifts from God, and they're not a curse but a blessing, and I'm so glad that God has given me these years because I can preach the wonderful gospel. And then in Isaiah, listen to what God says in Isaiah 46, verse 4. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." And so this wonderful, beautiful God says that in your old age, I'm mindful of you and I'm watching over you and caring for you. St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's verses 16 to 18. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outward we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but that what is unseen is eternal." And so Paul says, our body, God's telling us, our body's going to deteriorate, some faster than others. And God tells us when that body deteriorates, don't fret and don't fuss and don't lose heart because inwardly we are being renewed. And while the body that is decaying and getting weaker, the inward body, the inward man, the inward strength is getting stronger. And it's a day-by-day process. And so the psalmist makes a prayer here, and he prays to God in Psalm 71, verse 9. "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." And then here comes the answer from God. Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And God is saying, I'll be with you in old age. I'll be watching over you and I'll be helping you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Again, we'll listen to the psalmist in Psalm 71 and verse 18. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this regeneration, thy power to all who are to come. God has always been faithful, and God will always be faithful. And in spite of our human weaknesses, he is there to help us and to guide us. Oh, there's so many promises for people in old age. I just rejoice in this, because this Bible is for the young, but it's for the old also. And here, look at Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 44 and verse 40. He says, I'm God through all your lifetime. Though your hair is white with age, I'll carry you along and be your savior. In other words, God is saying, I'm assuming responsibility for your old age. And you can't skip rope anymore. And you can't ride bulls anymore and wild horses anymore. You can't play football anymore. But God is going to take care of us. And he's responsible for us as we lose some of our strength and all. And he'll give us inner strength and guidance and help and never leave us or forsake us. Oh, it is wonderful. And so therefore, in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, God is telling us we need to be walking with him and we need to serving him. And because he gives this old age and gives us extra years, we are to serve him and honor him and produce fruit. Produce fruit in old age. Listen to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, may not physically, but spiritually, that inner man, that inner person, see? And so this wonderful God says, just trust him and love him, and he will use us. And oh, what does Paul say in Philippians 1, verse 21? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in Romans, Paul says, for if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And so don't you see, don't you take heart and rejoice this wonderful, wonderful God. That's the first thing then. God honors old age. Now the second thing God says is that we are never to retire from God's word, work. We're to serve him as long as we live. Retire from your profession, that may be, and step aside because you can't do some of the things you could when you were young. But you never need to retire from God's work, because you can serve God all the days of your life if you set your mind to it. And it doesn't matter what your age might be. There's some good things that comes with old age. And we can speak from experience of our experiences with the Lord and the joy of the Lord and how he's more real to us. And oh, there's so many wonderful things. We have to speak out for the Lord at any age, but especially in old age. Well, then some people says, yeah, but there's retirement. Isn't there retirement in the Bible? No, there is no retirement in the Bible. There is retirement. There was retirement for the priests. But that doesn't apply to us because, first of all, the priests, for one thing, you're not a Levite. And the second thing, you're not a priest. And then the priests, they did retire about 55, but then they would serve, they would help the younger priests. And so they never went off golfing or just sitting in a chair and looking at TV. Well, I guess their TV didn't work very good in those days. But they were to do the service of the Lord. And in the United States, we have this retirement age. Now, our retirement age is 65. You know where we got that from? Well, we got that from Otto Bismarck in Germany, 1889. He set the age for government. You could retire from government when you were 65. And he wasn't so dumb because the life expectancy was 55. And so you could retire 10 years after life expectancy, see? Well, so then the United States, here comes the United States. I remember at the time when it happened, President Roosevelt signed an act called the Social Security Act. That was August the 14th, 1935. And he copied what the Germans said and put down 65, not 55, but he put down 65. And they died as 55, but he said 65. And so that became the age. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You can look the Bible from cover to cover, and you'll find nothing in there except the priests who were retired. There is no place ever where we're told that we come to a certain age where we set everything aside and just sit in a rocking chair and rock our chair and look at our gold watch until it runs down or we die, one of the two. See? When you look at the Bible, look at Abraham. He became a father when he was 100 years old. He married a second wife. He had six sons. And at age 175, we read that he breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And listen how it says, and he was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people means that not just that he died, but he had gone to be with his people in heaven. Because he had faith in God, he believed God and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Jacob, he's the same thing. His son Joseph, he says, I am about to die, Genesis 48, 21. And he used the same expression. He was gathered to his people. And it's like a family waiting for us. And through our faith and trust in God, and we're taken to that family and gathered over there. We work until we die. Now, I know right away what you're saying. You're saying, okay, I'm in bed. I can't work. I can't raise a hand. I'm in a wheelchair. And I'm too old. I can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can do something. For one thing, you can pray. And you can have a prayer list. And make that every day where you make that prayer. And you pray for those that ask for prayer. And you pray for those that you think about. And you witness to people that come around. And if you're maybe in a nursing home or something like that, and they're caring for you, be a bright, shining star to them and tell them about Jesus, see? And why not? We have something old age that the young people don't have. For instance, we have years of experience of walking with God. They don't have that. We can tell them about that. You can tell them from a wheelchair or a bed. You can always witness for the Lord. We have a maturity that only the years can give us. And something else too. Old age holds the wealth of the land. You've got money. Some of you got money stacked away. What you ever going to do with it all? You never can spend it all. So give it to God's work. You don't have to give it to us. There's a lot of good works going. But you see, in old age, I read here the other day, 77% of all the assets of the United States are held by a relatively few people, and all of them are over the age of 55. We ought to use our money to glorify God and to bring glory to his name and honor to his name. And so then we have time. Our children are gone. We don't have our job now. Time belongs to God, doesn't belong to us. And so use that time to witness and to pray. And if you can write, write to people. Maybe call on the telephone and encourage people. But just witness for the Lord. And I'll tell you something else we can do. Those of us in old age, we can teach the young people how to die. We can teach them of how wonderful it is to know Jesus and to have Jesus walking with us by our side. And so then when we lean on him, we know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we can be like King David, that shepherd boy. And David said, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. This is the way he put it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so he says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because Jesus is with us. And you know, the valley of the shadow of death, some people think, oh, it's dark and it's cold and there's wild animals there. And oh, it's a horrible experience. You know how wide, how long the valley of the shadow of death is? 1 second. 1 second long. Because when we die, when we leave, breathe our last breath here, our next breath is in heaven. That's how close we are. We're separate from the body and at home with the Lord, and there's no intermediate course at all. We just with the Lord with one breath. I was with my wife when she went to be with the Lord. I was holding her hand, and she was breathing, and all of a sudden, she just stopped, and she was in heaven. 1 second. Now you can tell young people about that, see? And so what we have to do is we have to live for the Lord. We have to shine where we are, shine where you're planted, and just do what, use what you have. And if you have Alzheimer's and you don't know what's going on, God knows that. And so just leave that in God's hands, or maybe some of us will come to that point where we won't be able to handle ourselves. But if you have any sense at all, if you have any good reasoning powers at all, use it to honor Jesus and to honor Jesus. But now I'm going to tell you something, friends. You can't do that unless you walk with the Lord. You have to have the Lord. You have to know the Lord. And you have to come to Him and receive Him as your Savior. And maybe some of you are in all these years, but there's never been a time when you have prayed to Jesus to save you. And I'm going to tell you, it's harder to accept Jesus when you're old, but it's not impossible. And I've been thinking as I was writing on this sermon and working on this sermon, oh, I wonder how many elderly people will be listening that don't know the Lord, that have never had an experience with Jesus Christ. Now, this is what you do. In your own words, in your own way, you just say, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I've sinned against you." And then say, "Dear Lord, please come into my heart and take away my sin." And you know, God says, and Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart, your life. He wants to come into your heart. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him, I'll fellowship with him, and I'll be with him. And I'll be with him in life and in death." And you say, "Well, I'm not hearing any voice." Well, you might not hear a voice. It might just be that you know, "I need Jesus. I'm moving along in years, and I'm not ready to die. And I'm not ready to meet God. And I know I've got sins stacked against my name that, oh my God, I don't want to die that way." And so then you ask Jesus. And Jesus says, "Are their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." He says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. And I'll take them away and I'll wash them away, and you'll never have to face them." Now, if you pray that prayer, you know what'll happen? The minute you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin, and promise to serve Him the best you can, trust Him the best you can, the minute you do that, you're born again. Jesus said, "You must be born again." He told Nicodemus that, didn't He? Nicodemus. And how you're born again? When you accept Jesus into your life, you become a new creation. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, and we become a new creation in Christ. And that's being the new birth. And then He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He walks with us and He talks with us, and we belong to Him. And He seals us with His Holy Spirit. And we will never be lost, but we'll always be with the Lord. Can you pray that now? "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can." And then you write to us. And we'll send you some literature and help you get started in the Christian life. you write to us, it's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to send a gift to us, you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I want to remind you that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they watch every penny we get and every penny we spend, and it's all above board. It's all used in the gospel work. And maybe God is talking to you today to accept Jesus, or maybe you drifted away and he wants you to come back, or maybe you're just giving your life and rededicating your life to Christ, whatever it is, and he'll show you what he wants you to do and wants you to help you. Now we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer every week, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries where they're being persecuted. And so this week, we're praying for all the brothers and sisters in Lebanon, And so you can just, all over the world, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Lebanon. We're going to do that now. So dear Jesus in heaven, thank you for saving our soul by calling on your name. And now we pray for our brothers and sisters in Lebanon, Lord. Some of them being put to death, many of them put out of their homes, and many of them losing loved ones. And so we pray that they'll know that we love them and we're praying for them. And oh God, help them through. We know they'll help them through the troubles and trials of life. And someday we'll be in glory. All these things we put away, all be done. And Lord, we also pray for the shut-ins. We pray for all of those of old age. Some of them have sorrows. Some of them are lonely. Some of them have despair. Some of them aren't sure about life. Oh God, especially bless the people of old age and turn their eyes to you and help all of us who are old to just serve you the best we can. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks and the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So God bless you. It's been wonderful being with you. And we'll come again next week, the Lord willing, unless the Lord takes us home. Some of you I'm talking to, I just guess anything that you may go home this week. I don't know. Just be sure you're ready to go. And all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and be saved, and you're on the way home. And the rest, all of you, we'll pray for each other. And now know that we think about you, that God loves you, and we love you. The Christian Worship Hour is dedicated mission ministry to help God's people and to comfort them. God bless you, everyone. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.